The sermon today, it's personal, is what it's entitled. It's as if you was going to walk in out the door and seeing people in the foyer and they're asking you this question. It's as if the person next to you is asking you this question. And the question is, do you know what I'm capable of? It's as if one of the children down in the children's wing looking up at you and saying, do you know what I'm capable of? It's like the people at Walmart and the people you pass on the day-to-day basis saying, do you know what I'm capable of? It was Bruce Hamilton, had been a part of the Olympics, Terry most of his life. Terry was my track coach, and I tell you, that's been a couple of days ago, Terry, but he did a great job at it. Bruce Hamilton, been a part of the Olympics most of his life. He understood strength, speed, endurance. He sat down with some other people that studied the same thing that he studied, and they accumulated limits. What would be the best somebody could do at this? They looked at human strength, human speed, human endurance, and this Olympic committee come up with these answers about track and field. The 100-yard dash, they said it couldn't be run in under 9.2 seconds. The mile could not be run under 3 minutes and 57 seconds. The shot put couldn't be thrown over 62 feet. The farthest anyone could throw a discus would be 200 feet. The highest anyone could ever pole vault, excuse me, would be 16 feet. The highest anyone could ever high jump would be 7 feet 2 inches. Now, Terry, I know you know this to be true. All of these have been broken. All of these have been broken. Each record, some of them over a dozen times, have been broken. And so when I look at these records, Mark, they got any water around here? If you get me some, I'd appreciate it. I got a tickle in my throat. Professor of strategy, Marshall Ferdinand Fye, said airplanes were interesting toys, but they have no military value. How about that? In 1962, an executive from Delco Records refused to record a new group coming to the United States. The new group was the Beatles. The reason Delco Records said they didn't want them was because groups with guitars were on their way out. How about that? In 1970, Ken Olson, Karen, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Ken Olson, the president of Digitile, said there was no reason for any individual to own a computer in their home. How about that? That's why you have Microsoft or Apple in your homes. The Western Union said it like this. They said the telephone had too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. This device was of no value. I'm sure some of us would agree with that. How about that? This would be my favorite. It was in 1899 when Charles Dahl, the commissioner of the patent office, said that everything that can be invented has been invented, and that was before the 1900s. How about that? I think he missed the mark. My question is, how many people have missed the mark? How many people stopped at limits other people put on them? How many people didn't reach their full potential because other people limited them? I'm afraid as I look at the church, we're overlooking potential inside the church. First question, can you see potential? Can you see potential in John chapter 1, 42, it says, "Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, 'Your name is Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cleopas,'" which means Peter. Darren, I love it. Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. Why? Because Andrew saw potential in Peter. Now, you got to understand who Peter is. Peter's a loudmouth. Peter is that guy that has no filter. If he thinks it, he says it. Does anybody know anybody like that? If they think it, oh, some people, yeah, raise their hands. I know that person. Now, don't be elbowing anybody. In the first service, we had names being called out. Peter was that guy that was always in your face. And you just wanted him to leave you alone for a little while. And yet, Andrew looked at Peter and said, "There's something about this guy. He has potential," and he brought him to Jesus. Now, more importantly than Andrew seeing potential in Peter, who else saw potential in Peter? Jesus did, didn't he? Jesus saw potential. And let me say, that same Jesus sees potential in you as well. That same Jesus sees potential in you. And let me say this, that same Jesus sees potential in the people around you. The person sitting next to you. The person you run into at Walmart. The person you run out in the foyer. The person you see going to school, young people. That person, this is the one that hurts me. The person I don't like. The person I don't like, Jesus still sees potential in them too. How about that? He sees potential. So when we see other people the way Christ sees them, it changes the way we look at them. And when you start to see people that way, it will change the way you treat the people around you. A little girl named Teresa Mathis. When she was in first, second grade, after church, my parents always were the last ones to leave church. And we were lucky. We lived in the parsonage next door, so we could just go home. But my kids didn't have it so lucky. They had to stay with me until we come home. But Teresa, her parents were the last. Anybody here a part of that group that their parents are the last ones to leave? You can raise your hand. It's all right. There you go. Parents are the last. Yes, I'm sure you were. Your parents were the last ones to go. She was a part of that group. And while everybody else was talking, Teresa found her way to the piano. And she'd seen the person play it during services, and she got up on that piano, and she started beating out the keys. She started pecking on it and making some noise with it and making a little louder noise with it, and everybody out here saying, "I wish she'd stop." I met Teresa preaching at a church, Church of God in Austin, Indiana. It was New Hope Church of God I was preaching at, and I slid in there and preached for a Sunday or two, and she was playing the piano. But what happened, and she was the one that directed me back to this. She said, when I was beating on that piano, didn't know a thing about it, one of the leaders come up to the piano and sit down next to me. It gave everybody out in the congregation that was trying to talk to their friends, it gave them a sigh of relief, saying that church leader's going to shut her down. But that's not what he did. He went up and he said, "Honey, you want to play the piano, don't you?" And she said, "More than anything, I want to play the piano." And he said, "I believe that God's going to give you the ability not only to play the piano, but to lead people in worship. I believe God's going to not only give you the gift to play the piano, but lead people in worship." And what he did next, she accounts to being the beginning of her learning to play the piano. Here, this church leader, Marty, put his hand on that little back of that little first, second grader. He said, "Honey, we're going to pray that God give you the gift." And he prayed over her that God would give her the gift to play the piano, and God would give her the gift to lead people in worship, and that she would use that. And she went out from there and she started taking piano lessons, and now she's led thousands and thousands of people in worship. And if you would say, where did it start? She would say, when I was in first, second grade, when that man put his hand on me and prayed over me. Why? Because that man saw potential. He saw potential in Teresa. It's important that we see the potential in the people that's around us. So many times we're so busy that we don't look around and we don't see the potential that's around us. John 21:15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Now you got to understand, this was after Peter had betrayed him. This is after Peter had betrayed Jesus three times. This is after he had thrown him under the bus and told people he didn't even know who he was. Jesus sees him. And he's asked him the question, Peter, do you love me? But that's not all he did. When Peter said, yeah, he said, yeah, I got a job for you. Not just a job, but a big job. You're a leader, and you need to be a leader. So feed my lambs, feed my sheep. You need to take care of this. And he gave him a place of responsibility. He said, if you do love me, then take care of my followers. Teach my followers. Step in and be a shepherd. Jesus encouraged Peter. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Let's say this together. Let's repeat this passage together because I think it's important. You should highlight this in your Bibles. Let's say it. So encourage each other and just... Don't you love that? May it be at Hillcrest Christian Church. May it be here at Hillcrest Church. May we be the most encouraging place in Lawrence County. How about that? Now let's strike that off. Let's just take the big eraser and wipe that one down. May Hillcrest Christian Church be the most encouraging place in the state of Indiana. Amen. People come just to be encouraged. I don't want this place to be known as a place of legalism. We don't want this place. Your leadership doesn't want this place to be known as a place of judgment. Everybody comes in is going to be judged, right? That's not who we are. May this be a place where people can be encouraged in the Lord. They leave better than we leave people better than we found them. It should be the most encouraging place. When Abraham Lincoln, after he was shot, after he passed on, they were going through his belongings. They got a hold of his wallet. And they opened it up. And they pulled out this old newspaper article inside his wallet. They opened it up, and it could be told, you could see that it had been open and shut a lot of times. The creases were almost worn in two and the outside was frayed. And so they opened it up, and here was a journalist, and he just simply said in his article that he felt like Abraham Lincoln was going to go down as a great president. Can you see it? Can you see Abraham Lincoln with a candle? He'd had a terrible day fighting out with all the politicians that day, and he come home wanting to give up, and so he opens up his wallet and he pulls out this news clipping from somebody he doesn't even know, and he reads through, and this guy says he's going to be remembered in history as a great president. And he finds enough encouragement in that piece of paper, in that newspaper article, to go at it another day. How encouraging are we? When we encourage people, you see who they could be in Christ. When you encourage people, your brothers and sisters, you need to encourage them to use the gifts that they have for the kingdom. So how do you do that? How do you do that? First, look for strengths. Look for strengths that people have and tell them what you see. Look for strengths that they have and tell them what you see when you see the strengths. Now, I was talking to Mark about this week, and he said, well, you have to be honest too, Jimmy. You have to be honest. So the honest part is if you don't see that particular gift, you say, maybe you ought to look at this gift. Keep it positive. When we were growing up, my dad had a way of letting you know if you weren't good at something. And when it comes to singing, my sister Bethany, I don't know if Bethany's here. I don't see her out there. Bethany, she's a Sunday morning singer. She's a good singer, Karen. Bethany is. She can sing. Now, my sister Sandy, she's a Sunday night singer. At least that's what Dad would tell her. She's a Sunday night singer. And I would be a Wednesday night singer because on Wednesday nights they didn't sing. So I got to sing on Wednesday night. He had a way of letting you know if you weren't talented in something. He didn't let you run that rabbit down the trail. He lets you know whether he's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night singer. Look for strengths. Look for their heart. Oh, it's important to see people's hearts. Know what their mission in life is. So many times we get so busy just talking and doing our own thing that we don't acknowledge what people's mission in life, where they're going. Ask questions and listen intently. Listen. Be present. Show up in people's lives. Pray with them about the gifts God's given them. Can you see that man walking up to the piano, Karen, putting his hand on that little girl and saying, we're going to pray that you have the gift to lead people in worship. That you're going to play the piano and you're going to lead some people in worship and bring them to Christ. When you look at a seed, follow me on this. When you look at a seed, it can be a watermelon seed, it can be a pumpkin seed, it can be a corn seed, it can be a bean seed. When you look at a seed, there's no way to see the potential of that seed as you're holding it. True? You don't know the potential of a seed while you're looking at it. The only way that you can see the potential of a seed is to put it in the ground and water it and fertilize it. And then you begin to see the potential of a seed. You can hold that seed forever in your hand. You can hold it in your pocket. You can carry it with you all day long. But you'll never see the potential of that seed, will you? It's only when you put it in the ground that you're going to see it. We got to encourage other people. We got to encourage people to put their seed in the ground. I believe in this church service right here. I believe in this worship service right here, there's a lot of starving seeds. I believe there's a lot of starving seeds right here this morning. I believe that there's a lot of gifts and abilities that's not reached their potential. I believe that there's thoughts that haven't been shared. I believe there's ideas that haven't been put on the table yet. There's wisdom that hasn't been given yet. I believe there's a lot of starving seeds right here. And let me say it this way, it will never be shown until it's sown. It will never be shown until it's sown. Potential is proven when it's planted. Potential is proven when it is planted. You can't hang on to that seed forever. Encourage the people around you to put that seed in the ground. Because if you let it go, and watch it grow. I want you to look at the person next to you. You're sitting way too quiet this morning. Look at the person to the left of you. Just look at the person to the left of you and say, let it go and watch it grow. Turn to the person to the right of you and say, let it go and watch it grow. I like it. We got a whole church. Mark, we have a whole church full of preachers right here. They're all preaching this morning. Let it go. Let it go and watch it grow. Let it go and watch it grow. Can you see potential? Can you encourage potential? And can you see your potential? It was in Matthew 26:73. A little later, some of the bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. We could tell by your Galilean accent. That might be like a Bedford accent, I'm not sure. Peter swore and curse on them. Curse on me if I'm lying. I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times that you even know me. And he went away weeping. Here's Peter. Here's Peter. He's a failure in his mind. He leaves as he hears he's denied knowing Jesus three times. He leaves. He feels like he's a failure, but he wasn't a failure. But Jesus still saw potential in Peter. Because a few days later, it wasn't too long after that, on the day of Pentecost, who was preaching? It was Peter. When all those thousands of people were saved, who was preaching? Peter. God sees potential in you. You think, well, I've got a past. God sees potential in you. Peter had a past as well. My Jesus sees potential, and he's calling you to let it go. Maybe this is a better way to say it, so he can make it grow. Let it go so he can make it grow. My Jesus can grow things. He just can't. Any farmer will tell you, they can put the seed in the ground and they can put a little fertilizer on top of it, but who makes it grow? God. They said, we can't control the rain. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, Brian, we was at the farm, and we had the biggest persimmon tree. We had the biggest persimmon tree over there. Dad walks up. He picks this nasty thing off the ground. I mean, this persimmon, the skin of it was popped, and stuff was oozing out of it. I mean, things were oozing out of it. And so my dad proceeds to blow on it. Like him blowing on it, it's going to kill all the germs from it laying on the ground. My mama taught me better than that. So he sticks that thing in his mouth. He says, son, I know it looks nasty, but try it. Try it, son. Well, I know better than to pick something off the ground. My mama taught me better than that. You don't eat stuff off the ground. And I know they've been on the ground for more than 5 seconds. So I go over to the tree. And I pull one off the tree. It had to be cleaner, Terry. It wasn't laying on the ground. I grabbed that one off the tree that looked clean. The skin wasn't popped and stuff oozing out of it. And my dad sat there and he didn't say a thing. He didn't say a thing. He didn't tell me don't eat that one. He didn't say nothing. I stuck that thing in my mouth. He let me stick that in my mouth. And I started chewing on that persimmon, and it was the nastiest thing I ever tasted in my life. It was bitter. It was sour. It almost coated. Oh, she's fine. Don't worry about her. She they don't bother me at all. It's as if it coated my mouth with nasty. It coated my mouth. I spit till spit ran off my chin. I knew I didn't like persimmons. It took probably 5 minutes for that film to come out of my mouth. Dad said, now, son, try one of these off the ground. I had second thoughts about it. I just got something nasty off the tree. It's So I reach down and I pick up one of those persimmons off the ground. And I guess it worked for him. I gave it the, killed all the germs on it, you know. And I ate it and it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And what I learned was this. In order for a persimmon to be ripe, it has to let go of the tree. In order for persimmon to be ripe, it has to let loose of that which it's hanging on to. For us, oh, she's cute, isn't she? She's beautiful. In order for us to be ripe, there's some things we have to let loose of. Have you thought about this? In order for you to grow, there might be something you have to let loose of. You got to let go before you can grow. So some people are hanging on to some things about baptism, and they've been fighting it in their mind and all of that. Quit fighting it. Let go so you can grow. I thought I'd just preach this sermon. Let go so you can grow. Some of y'all may need to rededicate your life. You know you've been needing to do this for a little while. And there comes a time that you have to let go of the back of that seat and come forward and do it. So you have to let go so you can. Sometimes there's potential that we kind of hide back. You show up at church, and let me say, this church will never be all that it can be until all of us are using our gifts and abilities. This church will never be everything that it can be unless all of us are using our gifts and abilities. God needs you to use your abilities. And maybe you've been attending here for a little while. How about you come and place membership here and grow with us? Let go so you can grow. Maybe there's some talents that you're just kind of hanging on to, kind of hiding it away, holding in your hands, shoving in your pocket. Maybe it's time to bury it, water it a little bit, and use it for the Lord. Isn't it neat how God always uses people that really people didn't expect Him to use? Some would say they're not the most qualified. Well, Jesus had a way of using those people, didn't He? Peter would have been one of those guys, they would have said, he's not really qualified. I don't know, he was a fisherman. I don't know how much time he spent in the temple. Let's put it out there. But Jesus said, that's the kind of person I want next to me. So where do you need to grow at in your life today? What do you need to let go of so you can grow? Maybe you need to give something up to the Lord. Say, Lord, I just need to lay this at your feet. I need to lay it down because it's holding me back from growing. In just a minute, Karen and Mark and the worship team, they're going to come and they're going to lead in a hymn of invitation. And at the first I told you to look at the person next to you and ask the question, do you know what I'm capable of? Now I want you to look at yourself and say, what do I need to let go of so I can grow? What do I need to do?